Hi everyone. I just want to give a little shout out that Business Barn Raising is now open for the year. This time around, we are really focusing on helping people who have been interested in incorporating hypnotherapy into their practice get started. And the most important things to get started really are focusing on your practice location, getting all the systems in place that you are going to need to provide services. Those are things like insurance and contracts. And finally, finding the clients that you need to run your practice. And in Business Barn Raising, we cover all of these areas, both in lesson content format as well as supported coaching calls. So if you think this is something that might be helpful to you, be sure to reach out and get signed up. We will be starting in June.
Hello and welcome to Animals and Aquatics. I'm Ryan, Certified Occupational Therapy Assistant, and your host for today. And today I'd like to talk a little bit about the similarities and differences between aquatic occupational therapy and adaptive swim lessons. So occupational therapy is a healthcare service, and you need to be licensed per your state guidelines in order to be a practitioner. Your goals are going to be determined by your scope of practice as well as the clinical condition of the child that you're working with. And while swimming may work on some of those common issues or difficulties that our clients are dealing with, it's not the same as the goals for an adaptive swim program are going to be very different from an occupational therapy session. A lot of times I look at aquatic OT as a preparatory phase to help a child get into either an adaptive swim program or mainstreamed into normal swim lessons. And so we may work on some of the same underlying factors that are inhibiting a child from participating in those more mainstream lessons. The goals are not necessarily going to reflect that. So licensure requirements, that's going to be dependent upon the state and passing a national board certification test. Documentation, so like any other medical service, OT sessions need to be documented, and there's specific ways that you have to go about that. Interestingly, some of our, I guess what we would look at as low-hanging fruit in OT would be things like safety. And so the pool can be a great place to work on some of those safety awareness skills. Also things like dressing, donning and doffing, that OT's ADL bread and butter. We can look at working on different flotation devices and working the buckles and clasps so we can get some of those fine motor skills, even though you wouldn't think of the aquatic environments as typically being a fine motor heavy in the fine motor department. We can always look to modify or adapt and add ways in to work on those skills as well. We can even do things like handwriting while we're working in the pool. And in that case, from an OT's perspective, we're using different sensory strategies within the aquatic environment to help that child regulate enough to be functional to address some of those other goals. The targeted goals aren't necessarily swim skills in aquatic OT or in occupational therapy sessions, but those things are also being addressed a little bit. Well, I shouldn't say a little bit. They're being addressed a lot. We're working on things like core strength and postural stability, and we've even done some quadruped weight bearing on a flow-through mat. And so there's a broad range of tools that we can use to address some of those typical OT goals that you would see in like a different setting. Documentation is also very different when you're looking at an aquatic occupational therapy session versus an adaptive swim lesson. An adaptive swim lesson, you might have like a report card where you're noting the child's progress to meeting different swim milestones. In an OT session, you're going to be documenting per your goals and the child's progress in meeting those goals. The intake paperwork is going to be similar. You're going to be looking at precautions and contraindications, such as any thin liquid restrictions or physiological conditions which may present an aspiration risk. You also want to see if there's a history of incontinence. I always encourage our swimmers or therapy clients to try to go to the bathroom prior to coming into the pool, whether or not they're potty trained. So the aquatic environment increases intracellular fluid transfer, which means that when you get into the water, it kind of makes you feel like you have to go to the bathroom. So we always try to void before we get into the water or start the session. It just makes it a little easier on everybody. And, you know, this way they're not stopping in the middle of the session to run out and go to the bathroom. So I had been working as a practitioner for about 7 or 8 months doing one-on-one aquatic OT sessions prior to starting our adaptive swim program. And the reason why I started our adaptive swim program is because I had a lot of our parents were asking if we could focus on swim skills. Children on the autism spectrum disorder are astronomically more likely to drown than their typical counterparts. I believe it's 680 times more likely for at risk of drowning. And so a lot of our families were very understandably concerned and wanted to make sure that their children could be safe in the water. One of the big differences that we have between our aquatic OT and our adaptive swim lessons is the price point. We are a private payer, so we do not seek insurance reimbursement. And that gives us a lot of freedom to address goals that are important to the family that may not otherwise be covered under their insurance programs. However, that can be a financial draw on a lot of families. So what I decided to do, because we had some families that were doubling up, they were seeing us as in the pool, and then they were also seeing Gina over at the barn, I decided to offer our current standing therapy clients adaptive swimming lessons. It was for a shorter period of time than our OT sessions, and really just focusing on the swim skills. Now, I use my OT lens and I use what I know about the child as a client to help them be successful in the pool and try to reach some of those swim milestones that we discussed earlier. But we're able to do it at a lower price point. There's the documentation requirements that I have to meet are not nearly as challenging or as time consuming, and it offered a more affordable solution to really work on a very important life skill that not only will help keep a child safe but also enriches their life. If I think about what would my life be like without the ability to swim in the ocean or go in the pool, or water is it's such a calming environment, and it's so important, whether that be, like I said, just swimming in a pool or going to the beach and going to the ocean, or even something like kayaking in the river. You know, there's so many things that I love to do that are dependent on my ability to swim. So it's really rewarding to feel like I'm trying to make a difference and alleviate some of the stress that our families feel being around water and increasing a child's independence in and around water. So both aquatic OT and adaptive swim work on things like body awareness, gross motor coordination, postural stability and strength, core strength. But they have very different targeted goals. With aquatic OT, you're looking at targeted therapeutic outcomes. And with adaptive swim, you're looking at swimming milestones and safety in and around water specifically. I hope this gave you some insight into the world of aquatic occupational therapy and adaptive swim. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, share, and subscribe.